Right.
It's the Jews. The Jews who always know things, think they know, right? Yeah. All right. Another fun evening. Any of us ahead of us tonight?
What?
Another fun evening. Fun, fun, fun. We are. Everybody's right at the top. Mama Reb Elazar b'Ksuva. What does Reb Elazar say about the Ksuva? That's the second line down. Okay. Mama Reb Elazar b'Ksuva. What does Reb Elazar say about the Ksuva? Now, Reb Elazar said in the Mishnah, which was on Amud Aleph, that the first husband does get the Metziah that the wife finds, the wife who, of course, unfortunately married then to somebody else, and the Metziah that she has in Maaseh Yodea, and the handiwork she makes, and he annuls her promises and vows, right? So Mama, so says Gemara, Mama Elizabeth Ksuva, does he also hold that the wife gets a Ksuva from the first husband? Is there reciprocity? So says Gemara, yes. Mind v'am shenoflu derech isur. Things which come at the time that she's forbidden, in other words, the husband gets her handiwork and her metziah, right? So obviously that he's getting when he's still married to her, and he's not supposed to still be married to her. So that's called derech isur, while she's forbidden to him, right? Atomer zakai, you say nevertheless it goes to the husband. Ksuva, the ksuva shenoflu derech heter, her ksuva, that was promised her years ago, right? Before the whole episode occurred, right? And besides, she gets it when she leaves. So that's wonderful. We want to look kavuch so koshke. Well, koshke should be a kavuch homer that she should get that. So actually, the Bavli also says this, but Yushami is stressing the point that the ksuva was promised her years ago, and the Bavli stresses the second point I made, which is that the ksuva she's getting in order to leave. Of course, we want to encourage her leaving, so therefore we should give her a ksuva. Okay? Says one further, Mistabard Rabbi Lezi, Yedid Rabbi Yossi. So I mean, it makes us assume that Rabbi Lezi will concede to Rabbi Yossi that a ksuva she gets. Rabbi Yossi will not concede to Rabbi Lezer, meaning he says a ksuva she gets, but she that not that the husband gets the metziah and handiwork which she produces during the time that she's still married to him. Okay? Because you want to promote a speedy divorce. Says more further, Rabbi Shimon lo Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Lezer, Yodun Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Lezer, now actually, Shai Torah Seretz Yisrael, in all honesty, adds the word lo Yodi. He says lo Yodun Rabbi Shimon. But I'm not going to learn like that. I'm going to learn like the Gemara says in front of us. That Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Lezer will concede to Rabbi Shimon that the Rabbi Shimon says that if the first husband dies and he leaves a couple of wives, and one of the brothers of the first husband does bia or chalitza on this woman, this unfortunate woman who had been married to a second husband as well, so then that exempts all the other wives which the first husband had from Yibum or from Chalitza. Okay? So that's Rabbi Shimon's perspective. So he says it's logical that Yosef Elezer will concede to Rabbi Shimon on this, because now the main thing is that we want this marriage to be rent asunder. Once the marriage is rent asunder, we don't care what happens afterwards. Well, Chalitza and Yibum are after the marriage is rent asunder, not perhaps the way we would have preferred by get, but by death. Big deal. The marriage no longer exists. Once the marriage no longer exists, so we can say that any further ramifications, such as Yibum and Chalitza, may be assumed to be proper ramifications. And therefore, whatever is done with this woman will exempt her co-wives from Yibum and Chalitza. Okay, of Rabbi Shimon Leyodi, Rabbi Yisrael Elezer, Rabbi Shimon will not concede Rabbi Yisrael Elezer, because he'll say, yes, what I'm saying, that Bir Chalitza, with Yimur Chalitza, with this woman works, that's because it's after the marriage. But the things you're talking about, which are still in the course of the marriage, Mitzia, Maisi Yodayim, or even the concept of giving her Ksuva, which emanates from the marriage, that I would not concede that is that she gets it. Hadamra teaches us how the Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon, Bia Psula Poteris, that a Bia which is puzzled, meaning, of course, this woman should not be Mesiah Bemes, because she's forbidden to her husband. Nevertheless, since that prohibition is only a rabbinic prohibition, and the Bia is only puzzled to Rabbanon, so it must be that Bia Psula does work in order to exempt the other co-wives from Yibum. Okay? Says the Gemara, period. Actually, first, let's put a period there. Now the word goes back to the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, if she got married with the Rishus of Beis Din, she doesn't bring it. She doesn't have to bring carbon because Beis Din is responsible, right? If she got married without the Rishus of Beis Din, then she has to bring a carbon, right? Because Beis Din was not responsible. So it says the Gemara. Actually, it's not. We're not going to that point yet. That's the next point the Gemara is going to go on. The point the Gemara is going on at this point is that it said that there was opinion in the Sefer, which we don't possibly like, that if she married without permission of Beis Din, meaning she had two witnesses, so in that case she can stay married to her first husband. It's only a case where she did not have permission, where she had to get permission of Beis Din to marry, meaning she only had one witness, and therefore she needed permission of Beis Din to marry. In that case, she's lost to both husbands, both the second and the first. So it says more about Batish, that doesn't make any sense. Let me stop her daughter, Elanisis, Bershus Mutel Shavi, if she gets married with the permission of Beis Din, we should sanction her less, then she should be permitted. Shalobish is getting married without permission of Beis Din, because she had two witnesses and didn't come to Beis Din, so as soon as she should be forbidden, because she didn't go to Beis Din to consult. So Rabbi Yochanan said, Divi Rabbi Shimon's perspective, which said that she's only has to get both two divorces if she had the permission of Beis Din, as opposed to if she didn't have the permission of Beis Din, means because also Beis Din Harayos, it's based on the assumption that Beis Din made their ruling, Kizadon Ish V'Isha, as if they, somebody relied on their ruling, as if he was intentionally. They were intentionally committing the Isser of Ashesish, which makes her prohibited both to the second person, the Boel, and to original husband, the Baal. The reason why they did this, of course, the Gemara said way back at the beginning of the parent, is that a woman should be extra special, sure, before relying on one aid and going out and getting remarried. Okay? Right. That's why you need the Ras Basin on one aid. Heisu Rabbi Chagai, Kumi Rabbi Yossi. Now, getting back to the Korbanos. Rabbi Chagai asked him in front of Rabbi Yossi, V'yehei kein bo roya. Now, there are numerous pshatim.
I think you skipped 2 lines. Nisas Shalo.
Yeah, sorry. Nisas Shalo Bishus. If she got married without permission, meaning she had two witnesses, and she didn't have to come out to Beis Din's authority, then there's Kishkogas Yishvisha, then she, according to our mission, she can remain married to the first husband, because then they consider it to be unintentional. It's considered to be unintentional because we don't have to, ensure that she's going to be extra special careful. Why should she be extra special careful? Two Adam came. Might be the wine, but she was being, she had to, we don't need her care. We have the Adam to rely on, right? Now, Hesiv, Amr Rabbi Yochanan said, Leis kam p'tura el chayeves. Aaron said, regardless of who gave her sanction to be married or nobody, she always has to bring korban. Doesn't matter. Okay? So ask Gemara.
If she has the two witnesses, don't those witnesses have to testify in the Beis Din?
Yeah,
she had to get married.
Right.
So before the Rav can marry her, he needs to see two witnesses declaring.
But it's not a function of Beis Din then to pass that she's mother. They're just hearing the testimony. It's a rubber stamp. As opposed to where it's one. Right. You don't need. I mean, even the two Drisha Chakir, it's not really. It's pro forma. As opposed to where it's one witness, because then Beis Din is really creating the answer. Now, says Gemara, Ezra Chagai, there are a lot of interpretations in the next Gemara till the Mishnah, but I'm going to learn it like Rabbi Yosef Engel, which I found particularly smooth and impressive. He says, Ezra Chagai, Kumi Rabbi Yossi, V'yeken bo doya. Let's say, Yeken bo roya. Let's say that it's talking about how can you say that they paskined that she can go and live with and get remarried? In other words, we said they were based in paskin, she can go and remarried.
She doesn't have to bring a
korban. She doesn't have to bring a korban. So I can say it's a psak, the way Rabbi Spangler explains it. It's really a question of metzias. Is her husband dead or alive? A psak is when we have a shayla and halacha, but this is not a shayla and halacha. This is a shayla in whether the husband is dead or alive. It's a question not of supposing, a question of determining the fact. Maybe Basin made a mistake in determining the fact. It wasn't a mistake of psak. The second psak is only when there's a halachic issue, not when there's a reality issue. Okay? Says more, no. We're talking about Shahoru Mutalav Al Ishish. The original psak, the one is allowed to rely on one aid, which is a psak of Beis Din, because the Torah says two witnesses, that is a psak. That's not a Metzias thing. It's not a question of reality. It's a question of whether one aid is sufficient. That was a psak.
In legal terms, isn't that called causality? Because of the psak, of what Beis Din said, that caused her to get married
right
to someone else.
Oh, but now Yosef Engel says, the next question.
Medical malpractice, they even talk about that.
He's not
time.
A terminology guy. Nunk pro dunk. Anyway, so says the. So says the Gemara. Does your son in law know what a nunk pro dunk is? Ask him. Okay. So says Gemara, and again, I'm touching the corner of Yosef Engel, gives a beautiful shot on this one line. He says, the luck here is goofy. That's not, even that wasn't Torah. When Beis Din Paskin, one was allowed to rely on one witness, the way the Gemara says in the Avamis and in the Bavli is, they were Oka Dovrim Min HaTorah. They uprooted the principle of the Torah. And the Gemara that discusses is Kumba Seis, is Sheval Taisa, what right did they have to do it? But that's not a psak. And the way Yosef Engel says, really a takona is not a psak. A psak is when on a specific case I issue a psak. But here they issue a specific case. They uprooted a whole section of the Torah called two witnesses and said one witness suffices. So you can't call it a psak which based on us bringing the korban as opposed to the woman. That's the Gemara's question, right? Mm-hmm. So says Gemara, no. Maybe we're talking about where in this specific case, they pass it for this woman, you know, wait 5 years, and then he get remarried. So that's a psak already. Because that's a psak, because it's telling her, for some reason, which Gemara doesn't say, we want you to wait 5 years before you get remarried. Okay? So this is more. That's why there was a hobby in the say she's exempt on the korban, because Beis Din issued an actual psak in this situation. Okay? Now, says Amara, if that's the case, why does the mission differentiate between a case where she actually had a was married to somebody else, where Beis Din being the korban for her, again, not according to Rabbi Yochanan, according to the way we learned the mission before it, and a case where she's Mizana, where she has licentious relations, where Beis Din does not bring the korban for her. What's the difference? If Beis Din Paskin issued a psak, what difference does it make how she ran afoul? Lamaisa, she was relying on their psak, right? That's why she was a Mizana. So says more here, also very interesting answer. Now I'm going to learn this like the Mefarshim on the page, even though the Or Sameach has a very interesting psak on which he sustains what it says here. But I'm going to change it slightly just by taking one word. When Beis Din allows you, let's say Beis Din allows you to eat chalev, and you ate chalev and blood, that's not considered to be okay. You're not relying on Beis Din. because when you took the, when you ate the blood, you indicated that it wasn't Basin's Pesach you were relying on. You were relying on your own logic, right? Because Basin only allowed you chalef. They didn't allow you to eat blood. So therefore, you have to bring a korban actually on both, because it indicates us you're doing it on your own cognizance and not on Basin's cognizance. So the same thing here. They allowed her to get married. They didn't allow her to be Mazana, right? When she does Nus, that indicates that she's not relying on Basin's Pesach. She's relying on her own perspective. And therefore, in that case, she has to bring her own korban. Okay?
I would, along the same lines, I would just say that her intentions were honorable when she got married. Her intentions were not honorable when she decided
well,
to...
Well, that's a similar idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Halacha Gimel. Isha shor ba'al umdina sayam. A woman whose husband went to Chutzar. Shor ba'al umbina umdina sayam. Her husband and son went to Chutzar. Uvov amla meis balich. So the first they said to her, your husband died. Para meis b'nech. And then they said, your son died afterwards. So then in that case, she's p'tura min ayibum, right? Because at the time her husband died, she still had the son. And he says, you got married. And they said, whoops. The opposite was true. First your son died, and then your father, your husband died, and therefore you're chayev to be Misa Bemis, right? She's got to get divorced. And the kids are mamzerim, right? And he could, she asked, because she should have undergone Yibum, and she didn't. She said she married someone she's not allowed to marry. So any kids from this union are mamzerim. Now, B'nai Moshe brings out a very important point from the Bavli, that we don't passionate this Mishnah. Because the prohibition for somebody else to have relations with a woman who has Zika upon her is only a lie. It's only stam a negative command. It's not a chiyuv misa. So therefore, this Mishnah is only going to Rabbi Akiva. So there's mamzer from negative, you know, from chayav ilavin, from regular lav. But we pass this only mamzer if there's capital punishment involved. We will not pass like this Mishnah.
Who's the Vlana Rishon here?
Right.
Before she became aware that her husband, that the reverse procedure had occurred.
Which one?
Yeah, the Shani is after she became aware, yeah.
So which was the first one that died? The husband's first?
The no, that would be okay. The son died first and then the husband died. That's why she should have been Misia Bemis.
Right,
okay. Okay, it says Mar Maha David Leh, how do you consider these witnesses? Kedem Iso Kede Gereshin. Like witnesses on death or like witnesses on divorce. In top if you're going to say that they're like witnesses of death, Pligot argues it should be Bein Arabon and the Hacham, Bein Arabon and Taman argues on both sets of rabbis who we're going to see in a minute. In top if you make them like witnesses on divorce, Pligot and here it should be Arabon and Taman, they're arguing on the rabbis in Bavel. Okay, so I actually just switched the lines. So I'm Rabbi, what are the rabbis over here in Eretz Yisrael? I'm Rabbi Yochanan, they're Rabbi Yochanan. The Tani Kain, we also learned there's a Braisa. The carbonated takes out the words Tani Kain because it's not a heel, it's not a Braisa, it's just a statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Shnaim Omri Meis. Two people said your husband died. Shnaim Omri Meis, two people said your husband did not die. Okay, so we have two against two. Lotina says she shouldn't get married. Vim they say so if she does get married, Lotte says she doesn't have to get divorced, she can remain married. Shnaim discussion, two people say you're divorced. Shnaim discussion, two people say you're not divorced. Lotina says she may not get remarried. Vim they say so if she does get remarried, Tate says she's got to get divorced. Okay, so Rabbi Yochanan said when 2-on-2 by death, sure she couldn't get married. If she gets remarried, she can stay married. By 2-on-2 and divorce, she shouldn't get remarried. If she gets remarried, she's got to get divorced. Second time around, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Says Gemara.
It's almost like a multi. For the first case, it's like a multi mechaver all of a raya. I understand it's not demon number.
Yeah, well, we're going to discuss that. Tamar Amar. So that's in Eretz Yisrael. Baba, they said, Lo Shania he miso he gave a shit. Doesn't make a difference whether it's 2-on-2 by death or 2-on-2 by divorce. Lotina say she shouldn't get married. Even he says Lotina say if she does get married, however, she doesn't have to get divorced. Now, Al Daitis Rabbanan Taman, according to the rabbis over there, and Bava, I understand it's consistent. Nich he miso he gave. Same thing is true by death and by divorce. Right? Shouldn't get remarried. If you're married, don't get divorced. The rabbis in Eretz Yisrael. Why? By the when two on two by death, and she gets remarried, we make her. We don't make her get divorced. But two on two by divorce, if she gets remarried, we do make her get divorced. So it says more, Rabbi Zira Amar Lo Stam. Rabbi Zira said this statement without attribution. Rabbi Chiya said, B'shem Rabbi Yochanan Amar, he said, Hadas Machas. He said, it's a logic. What's the logic? Bein Emisa, by Edom on death, Me'achish Il Yova Hu Machish. If he came, but comes back by death, so then, they're obviously going to prove the Edom wrong, right? The guy comes and says, here I am, still alive, right? So therefore she's afraid to get remarried unless she's absolutely sure. That's why it's true she shouldn't marry L'chadchila, but if she does marry, we say Mistama, she clarified it beforehand, because she's deathly afraid that the guy will come back from the dead, and therefore she can remain married. However, by Gerushin, it's not the same thing. Because by Gerushin, even if she gets remarried now and then her husband comes and proves that he didn't divorce her, her husband says he didn't divorce, husband comes back, so then she says, yeah, but you divorced me. I have no proof, but you divorced me. In other words, the Edom by death will be absolutely contravened by the appearance of the husband. So therefore, she's afraid to live under a fiction, to accept the animal unless they're absolutely correct. But by Gerushin, she can always claim, yeah, when the husband shows up, sure, you're alive, but you divorced me already, and therefore the Edom are not under that degree of potential, a discovery, and therefore there she's more likely to lie. So that's why, in the case where she gets remarried, where it's two on two by death, she can remain married. In the case where it's two on two by divorce, she can't remain married. Okay, that's Rabbi Yochanan's for.
By death, it's not called habeas corpus. You gotta have the body.
Right. It's habeas corpus, right. But habeas livis here, it comes back alive. Says more, whatever you say, habeas vitalis. Okay. Says more further. Omar Rabbi Chizkia said, Rabbana Tamon Kedaitin. Rabbana, the rabbis in Bavel, they're like us. In other words, we like what they say. Kamod Rabbana Tamon Omar. Now, this Rabbana Tamon is elsewhere. It's not really talking about our case over here. It's talking about a case. Actually, it's not Kedaitin like us. It's like themselves. I apologize. The Rabbana in Bavel are consistent. That's what it means to say. How are they consistent? When it went out with clear-cut testimony. Now this is interesting. This is the case you were referring to before of Hamotzi Mechaver Lava Raya. You have two on two. Two people say that this field belonged to Reuven's father. People say this field belongs to Shimon's father, right? So Reuven gets into the field and he takes hold of it, okay? So if Reuven has hold of the field, so then he gets to keep it, right? Reuven, let me translate the case for Beit Carbonator. Reuven's in a field with the assumption that it's his. And Shimon brings proof that when his father died, Shimon's father, it was in the hands of Shimon's father, right? And therefore we say that it was belonged to Shimon's father, right? So we take it out of Reuven and we give it to Shimon. If Reuven then brings two Edom that when Shimon's father died, it was not in the Shimon's father's jurisdiction, so the Rabbanan in Bava hold that since it's two on two, we leave the field by Shimon, who's holding on to it, in the suffix, despite the fact that originally we should have left it in the hands of Reuven, who's holding on to it. Because once it left Reuven's hands, because of whatever testimony he had at the time, then it becomes Shimon's, and we can't take it out of Shimon. Anybody understand what I just said?
Even if Reuven has Adim?
Even if Reuven has Adim, right. Because it's two on two. In other words, Shimon already extracted it, right? So now Reuven wants it back. And Reuven has testimony, which were he to have produced the testimony originally, would have allowed him to keep the field. But now he's trying to take it back, it doesn't work to take it back. He needs stronger evidence because I'm supposed to have a
lover, right? Possession is 9/10 of the law.
Right. So possession is 9/10 of the law. So it says more, Gemara Abana Tamona, Omer B'shah She'yotza Be'edus Brua Yotza Bo. Since when we took it away from Reuven and gave it to Shimon, right? So we actually had definite witness testimony at that time. Ken Rabbanan Amrin, so to the Rabbanan Tamon Amrin, it should be instead of Tehocha, so to the rabbis over there saying, Bavel, B'shosh and Ezeis, she got remarried based on testimony that her husband died, Beidus Bruin Ezeis, she had valid testimony at the time. Now it's true later on, Adim come and contravene. But so what? Hamotzim Chaver Lova Raya. At the time she got remarried, she had good witnesses. Just like at the time the Reuven took hold of the field, he had good witnesses. And therefore for Shimon to come later on and bring two witnesses to overcome Reuven and get back the field, that's not possible. Because already the possession which Reuven has is valid. Even though that Shimon brought the witnesses to begin with, we were never brought given the field to Reuven, right? And so to hear, although if the Adim had come to begin with and said that the guy did not die, we would never let her remarry. But since at the time she remarried, we only had two witnesses who said the guy is dead. So if we do let her remarry, right? Says the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi said, baloney. That's if you have to change gears to get baloney. But it's supposed to be lo mistabra, you are supposed to change gears here. Lo mistabra do ella. No, on the contrary, it's shver. Mechal b'shitos in the Rabban Tamon. It's a contradiction in the sheet of the rabbis above them. Lo moder Rabban Tamon, don't the rabbis agree? The rabbis of Avel agree over there. Shilu mishari shayna, if to begin with, shnaim omrim meis, it should be Av Mitocha. Two people say Reuven's father had the field this time it's dead. V'shtayim omrim lo meis aviv mitocha. Two people say that Reuven's father did not have the field at the time of death. Shasla de Bechezka shel Reuven, that the field remains in Reuven's possession. Meaning if both sets of witnesses come together before anything is done, right? So then Reuven gets to keep the field, right? It's only once the witnesses came, Shimon took it away from Reuven, and then another set of witnesses comes to Reuven's back, so they don't give it back to Reuven. But if both sets of witnesses came before the court case began, so of course Reuven gets to keep it, right?
And they cancel each other.
They cancel each other.
Watch.
Right? So here too, the same thing should be true here as well, right? Why do we allow the woman to remain married if both sets of witnesses, one which says that the husband died and the other says the husband didn't die, both came before we opened the case? Mm-hmm. That's what the rabbis in Babel say. If both sets of witnesses came before the case began, and she should get married, but if she got married, she doesn't have to get divorced. What kind of thing is that?
Mm-hmm.
Of course she should have to get divorced, because we're both sets of witnesses were already there, and they cast each other out at the time that the case began. So it says, why Yilushtayim, I give you another proof like this. Yilushtayim, I mean, actually, I think that that's the end of the proof. The more doesn't answer it. Yeah, the Gemara doesn't answer. Gemara just continues the question. The Gemara says,
but that's a steerer to the Mishnah, isn't it?
Yeah. So it says Gemara, let's just finish it. Go finish up that thing. So Ilu Amrushnaim, if two people said Nisgarsha, right? So Ilu said she was divorced. Rushnaim when they said Nisays, and Shnaim Ilu Nisgarsha, and two people said she wasn't divorced, right? After she got married. And that you said, Lotesi, that she doesn't have to get divorced, then, Yos, that would be good. But not the way it's written in front of us now. So that we actually leave that difficult. We don't understand how the Rabbanan Talmud said, but the Yavid, when she got married, she can stay married. But the truth is, we really answered it on top. I'm not sure what's so difficult, and maybe that's what Yerushalmi doesn't bother answering it now. Well, we did answer it. We said, now like Rabbi Yirmiya, we said that we're in a case where it's they're testifying to death, so she's afraid that the dead guy will come back, and that's why we rely on the witnesses who said he's dead to her advantage, that the evidence, if she got married, she can remain married, as opposed to a case of money, right? We're going back and forth by the money, the field, who it belongs to. So we have no principle of Isha Daiko Mintzvah, right? That a woman is going to be trembled and she's going to make sure to only get married if she really, really is sure of herself. That simply does not apply in the case of, of the money, of who's going to get the field, where it's going to keep on going back and forth.
Except the answer we gave on top is when the witnesses came one and then later on the second.
No, but it would even work, I think, if they both came once. I'm not sure. You're right. I don't know if they both came once. Maybe you're right. Maybe it wouldn't work in the way
they were. You have two contradicting witnesses at the same time.
Okay, maybe you're right. I take it back. It's not a good, maybe it's not a good answer. Masisa pli Rabbi Yochanan. Now we're going to ask Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says that no matter what, she can't remain married. She's got to get divorced. What about the following mission? So Shnayim Rin Yiskacha. Two people say she's married. Shnayim Rin Yiskacha. Two people say she's not married. Loti that say she shouldn't marry somebody else. When they say it's when she marries somebody else, Lotate says she doesn't have to get divorced. So what do we see quite clearly? Is that we do rely b'dieved on the witnesses. In this case, witnesses said she wasn't married and she doesn't have to get divorced when she gets married. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that's difficult because Rabbi Yochanan said, in any case we said she shouldn't get married, if b'dieved she does get married, she's got to get divorced. And we say it's not true. You see a case where b'dieved she doesn't have to get divorced.
Yeah, but she's not guilty of any avera here.
What do you mean? She's guilty of hashishish. She married another guy.
She married
another guy, not the guy who they said she's married to. They married another guy. So, Rashi said we can't salvage it. Patra Rabbi Yochanan will say that this, we misunderstood the case. It's a case where Shnayim Rin Yiskacha and Yiskacha, two people say she was married and divorced. Shnayim Rin Lo Yiskacha, two people say she was never divorced. In that case, Lotina say, Vini say, Lotina say. There, even Rabbi Yochanan agrees, she probably should not get married, but if she gets married, she doesn't have to get divorced. Why not? What's the case where two says she's divorced and two says she's not divorced, where they say that she can't remain married even if she didn't get married. So this is what I'll tell you, a very interesting distinction, a good one. We're talking about whether there's a dispute if she was divorced or not. Everybody agrees she was married. Question where she was divorced. We have to be machmir here. But Ramhacha lo sukkah HSE shall be finished line. We don't know that she's Nishish except because these two people said that she's an Eishas Ish, right? And the those two people said Eishas Ish, although the words are missing here, they're the ones who say she got divorced, right? The two people say that she's married are the ones who said they're divorced. What about the other ones? The other ones say she never said she was even married. They say she's not divorced, but they didn't know she was married. The women, what happened in this case is two witnesses say she was married and divorced, two witnesses said she never got divorced. But two witnesses said she never got divorced, for as far as I'm concerned, they don't know that she was married either, right? So in this case, the two people would establish a chazaka that she's married and caused problems, they say she got divorced. The pesha also pesha eat here, right? They made a problem, they solved the problems. The women said she's not divorced, yes, but how do you know she was ever married to begin with, according to them, right? So that's what it says here. So l'chshevo shnayim, if two other people come, v'yomer, and they'll say it should be shnei skacha that she was married, then I'd have a problem. But the two people say she never got divorced. They don't know that she was ever married either. Ma'asisa pi Rabbi Yochanan. This following verse, I'm sorry, Rabbi Yochanan, says shnayim in this space, two people say a woman's taken captive, itor, and she's tor. In other words, she didn't have no hanky panky went down when she was in captivity. Shlomi Lundish Bay's feet to Mayor, she was staying captive, she's Tomei. Lotina says she's not getting married, of course, to a Kohen we're talking about because of Chalo, she's a Chalola. But even he says Lotate, if she does get married, she doesn't have to get divorced. It's a Kash Rabbi Yochanan because it's here we see the marriages she should not do. If she did it, she can stay in it. Rabbi Yosef said, no, there it's different. Now, the truth is, what Rabbi Yosef is about to say is unintelligible without the Pnei Moshe. Rabbi Yosef says, by Shvuya, we're more Mako. It's not the same thing, because it's the whole reason to prohibit a woman taking the captivity for going is based on a Chumrah. What's the Chumrah? The assumption that she was raped or seduced. But we don't necessarily have to assume that, because she has a chazaka that she was a ksheira. So therefore, we can be more lenient. And that's what Gemara says, even according to Rabbi Yochanan.
It's
if these are saying she was taken in captivity, and these are saying she's not captivity. In that case, we believe her whatever she says. Meaning, basically, if we have a dispute 2-on-2 by a woman who's an Ashish, we don't believe her. What does she know? But by Shvuya, since the whole thing is the Chumrah, we believe whatever she has to say. And of course, she'll say she's Torah, right? Shnayarin is Kacho, Shnayarin Lon is Kacho. Back to the case you mentioned on Omer Alf. Right? Two people say she's married, two people say she's not married. So what's her status? Rabbi Yoina Metami Lol Chalovin. Rabbi Yoina says it's like forbidden fats. How so? If Ushnayim Army, if two people come and say, plenty Achal Chalov. Yanko, he ate forbidden fats. Ushnayim in Loach HaChayev, the other two say, he didn't eat forbidden fats, he ate permissible fats. Loach HaChayev. Shema Inam Mevi, Ashim Sof, Ashim Toli Misofek. In that case, doesn't he have to bring an Ashim Toli? Right? We don't know whether he had or didn't have the forbidden fats, so he has to bring an Ashim Toli. Vracha here too, Yitain get Misofek, he has to give a get. Misofek, because we don't know if he married her or didn't marry her. It's no comparison to chalev. By chalev, even if you just have a guilty conscience, even the odds are that you didn't eat chalev, you're allowed to bring an oshem toli, as long as there was a possibility that you ate chalev. So there, you bring an oshem toli because it can't hurt. But here, maybe you don't have to give a divorce, because there's no such thing as this additional factor of just because you're feeling guilty. So you either have to or you don't have to. It's a very long discussion here in the Tzion Yerushalayim, a very nice discussion, which is totally irrelevant to the Gemara, but except peripherally. He wants to say that from here, it's a proof to the Rambam. The Rambam passes that all speakers are the Rabbana, right? Sufik deraisa of me. The raisa is the kula. Rabbana said you have to be machmir. The Rashba says, Sofik the Raisa, the Chumra mi the Raisa, Torah says the Mi. So one of the kashas the Ramama asks, and the Rashba asks the Ramama, is how can you ever have to bring an Ashim Toli? If all Sofis fakas are Mutta the Raisa, so how is the Torah ever require you to make an Ashim Toli? You were allowed to do it. So he answers based on this Gemara, no, but you see, Ashim Toli is not based on the fact that you transgressed the Sofik. It's based on your feeling bad. So you can feel bad even if the Torah allowed you to transgress, to take your chance at a suffering. Torah allowed you to take chances, but after, and you were a big Baal Taiva, so you took your chance. But after you feel guilty, so you can bring an Ashim Toli, even the Torah permitted it to do so. So anyway, so it's a long discussion of suffering, the Reis, Lekula, Lechumra. Very nice discussion, but not for us for now. Anyway, says Gemara, Mesisa Bliga Rabbi Yossi, Mishnah Reis itself seems to argue Rabbi Yossi, and a Rabbi Yoina. Because the Rabbi Yoina says that a get is necessary. Rabbi Yossi says a get is not necessary. Okay? So the price itself says, Loti no save. Even he says Loti say, right? Two people say she's married, two people say she's not married. She can't marry another person. She does marry another person, she'll be the evidence, she doesn't have to get divorced. So that's a contradiction to both. Rabbi Yossi, it seems, she holds you can go get married to anybody you want. We don't run these witnesses cancel each other out, right? Because these are people who are Shnami Scotch, Shnami Lo Scotch, Lotina, say she shouldn't get remarried to somebody else. But according to Rabbi Yossi, should be able to, right? Because it's not like the Chalovim, right? The same with Rabbi Yossi, the end of the bright song is Rabbi Yossi, and it says, even they say it's Lo Tetze. It says Lo Tetze, not Tetze. It says if she got married, she doesn't ever get divorced. According to Rabbi Yossi, she shouldn't be allowed to get married altogether. And if she got married, she's not. She shouldn't be allowed to remain married. She should have to get divorced. Because it's like Oshem Toli, right? It's forbidden. So it's more Rabbi Yossi, Lo Tetze, Yom Martino, say. You misunderstood. Rabbi Yossi doesn't say she should allow to get married to Chatchila. When two Adam say she's married, two Adam say she's not. She's not allowed to go marry somebody else to Chatchila. The Lord Rabbi Yana Maini says they say, Rabbi Yana doesn't say that if she got married, she has to get divorced. No, they had a side to the conversation, totally peripheral to this issue. All Rabbi Yossi was saying is that I could agree with you that she shouldn't get married l'chatchila, but don't think a parallel to chelim and talk about Ashim Toli, because Ashim Toli is not the parameters are not similar. Ashim Toli, the parameters are much more lenient. Shafilo amar libi no kreni, maybe Ashim Toli. Even if a person's heart makes him feel bad, he can bring an Ashim Toli. So it's not necessarily true that just because two witnesses say she's married, two witnesses say she's not married, that that's a comparable case, you know, in any way, shape, or form. Could be that Ashim Toli has many more, you can bring on the many more cases, and there's no comparison between the person who ate a piece of fat, we don't know whether it was kosher or treif, and the person, and whether it was Ashim Toli. And the weather, when you one said when this is she's mekudesh, one said when this is she's not, whether in that case she can get married to somebody else or not, they might be totally dissimilar. There's no comparison between the two. They say to woman, your son died, and then your husband, so then she becomes Nisi Abemis, right? She goes to Nisi Abemis because she had no kid at the time that her husband died. Then they said, no. Well, joke's on you. The opposite was true. Tate, she's got to get divorced because her husband is now a chai of krisus on her. Her husband is her brother-in-law, right? And it's forbidden because there was no yibum allowed. And again, any kid she has by this, the yavam, before or after she hears the news, they're all mamzer. Okay. As says Gemara, now this Gemara is totally irrelevant to the Mishnah. Totally have a flu. If there's a woman who's not supposed to marry out, she really should do yibum, right? This happens a lot in modern day America, unfortunately. You know, you have women who undergo, you're supposed to undergo yibum, but they don't know. They die after trial. They're after childless marriage. They should undergo yibum, but they don't know, and they go and they marry somebody else, right? So. She should have been Misi Abemis, right? And she was not. The Noam Yushami, the Achiezer, a whole bunch of Achronim go a little bit crazy here. No, not literally, but this is talking about whether this argues in the Bavli, because the case in Bavli where she got Mekudeshes. It's talking about to the market. What's her status then? And it says she got Nesua to the market. So the question is, are they two different cases or the same case? Pasha says there are two separate cases. The Baal talks about just where she got Mekudeshes, and then separate from the Baal Yerushalmi, which is talking about where she got Nesua. Okay? But anyway, without getting further into the comparison, so she, Mamish, went the whole 10 yards. She got married to somebody else with Achalitza. Rabbi Yemi Omar Nishke Ferloch, Zeh Choyletz B'Zeh Mekayim. She gets a pro forma Chalitza now, right? And she can remain with her husband. Rabbi Yemi Omar Nishke Ferloch, she's got to get divorced. Why? Because she got married to Isser. And therefore we fine her and we make her get divorced. She's got to get divorced from her husband. Rabbi that's how we pass it. Rabbi Yossi B'Shermi also said Tetzei. Rabbi Yossi B'Shermi Rabbi Pinchas Hechsova Rabbi, what does Rabbi hold? So Rabbi Pinchas said Rabbi Yossi that she doesn't have to get divorced. She gets chalitza and she remains married. If you don't, I'm going to write that you're a rebellious elder. Because Rebbe Paskin, that she's got to get divorced from her husband. Very strong language. So Rebbe Zirazin said, Masnisa Messiah Rebbe Yechanan, our Mishnah, this Brisa sustains Rebbe Yechanan. Which Brisa? Says Tetzei Mizeh Umizeh. It's a brice which says that in a case where she was married out, and she wasn't supposed to marry out because she was a Yavama, she's got to leave both husbands, both her initial, both the Yavam and the husband who married her, right? Ushlosha says Varim Bo, Kedivarei Meir, Shalom Mishmarei Kibbo, Rabbo. According to our mayor, who said the name was Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe, we throw the whole book at her, and all the prohibitions which apply to Nation C, she improperly married out, apply to Yavoma improperly married out. The only difference is, Chachomi Omrim, Ein Mamzer Yavoma, Chachomi says, no Mamzer Yavoma, we do pass in that way. There's no Mamzer, because a Yavoma Lashuk is only alive. So like Rabbi Akiva, the progeny is a Mamzer. But like Rabban will say, it's only Mamzer, if it's a death penalty crime, there's no Mamzer Yavomas. Lo Amar Ein Mamzer Yavoma, but the only the Machlok is whether there's Mamzer by the Yavoma or not. But to get divorced, it's got to get divorced. Vatina, we learned Takar Baiso Tetse as well. But Rabbi Yochan Tetse, just Rabbi Yochan says, it's got to get divorced. Amla Meis Balech, if they said to a woman, your husband died, Vinisei, since she got married, Chag Amlo Kayom, then they say, no. At the time we told you he was dead, he was still alive. Umeis, but then he died afterwards. So a Vlad Rishon, this case of distinction, a kid who's conceived while her husband turns out to have been alive is of course a mamzer. V'achar, a kid is conceived after her husband is known to be dead, and a mamzer is not a mamzer. Amalai Meis Balech, they said to a woman, your husband's dead, V'iskach, and she only got kiddushin, not nisuin, right? Only one, not the other. V'achar, babal, and then her husband comes back, v'tayasach, so she can come back, go back to him. In this case, even if the second husband gave her a get, she can still go back to the first husband. We don't call the marriage sign in this case. Why? Because lo pasul min akuna, and it doesn't make her pasul to the kuna either. Why? Zemidush dosh rabbi lezer ben masya, because the lezer masya dash concern this case, isha grusha me isha, woman was divorced from her husband. Lo me isha no isha, not from a man who's not her husband. Now it's true the second husband was mekadisha. But that's not enough for Chachamim to find her and throw the book at her like they did in the first mission. The first mission they threw the book at her because she went the whole 10 yard. She had nisuin. That's why she needs to divorce from the second guy. And she can't go back to the first guy. But here she only got kiddusha from the second guy. She didn't go all the way. So then we don't throw the book at her. And she can go back to her first time.
So it's like a get me to Rabbana.
Yeah. Right. Rabbi Yochanan Sharian said, "Ein lo ella mishum zim kuna." In this case, our Mishnah, where she got kiddushin to the second guy and then got a divorce from him, so it's only disgusting to kahuna. They hold their nose; literally, it smells bad. But vein basin mizayim so, but basin allows them to marry kohanim. The kohanim, their noses are stuck up; they won't marry her because it looks bad. But she's okay technically. Says Ramat Mekayim. What are we talking about here? Beit Echor b'shnei top and zayim off. Beit Echor b'shnei. Are we talking about whether it's one witness or two witnesses? If you're going to say it's one witness, we see one aid can say the husband's dead and she becomes Muteris Lisiabe. So I'm not sure why that's a big deal, but somehow the Gemara feels it's a big deal. If you say it's only when there are two witnesses that her husband's dead, have a plea on Rav, that argues that Rav, the Amrav Nachum, B'Shem Rabbi Yaakov, B'Shem Rav, this is how Bishtaim, if she's married on the basis of two witnesses, have pilu du wasi. Amazing thing. Even if the husband goes back and says, I'm here, right? It should be Armi the Karmine Abraham Moshe, the Shai, read Baz Shai, there's it's all fixed the next line. They say, Armi lay, we say to him, lay satu, you're not who you said you are. Vema kirach, and I don't recognize you. So it's an interesting thing. If two people come and say the husband's dead, two people say the husband's dead, right? And then he comes back. So then, she has the right to say, I don't recognize you. Of course, if she doesn't say it, she's in big trouble. That's our first mission. But if she says, I don't recognize you, sure she's okay. So therefore, if you're going to say two people came and said that he's dead, right? So then why should she not remain with the Yava? Or whoever she got married to, right? It's not a Yavam here. Whoever she got married to, she remained with, right? Because she can deny knowing that this is the guy. So in any event, this is a good question. The Gemara does not answer it. Gemara says, and basically the only time she's up the creek, like the first Mishnah, is if she confesses that this is her husband. If she's smart, she'll just say, I don't know who you are, go away. Okay? How we know that the marriage does not take hold of a woman who's already married? That's a very basic question. It's kind of strange for it to come up in the middle of Yavamas out of nowhere, as if we never knew this before. But how do we know he can't contract a double marriage? No polygamy in halacha, not polygamy, no polyandry in halacha. How do we know that's true? Because she's got to go out. She takes me peso. When she leaves one house, then she can marry somebody else. But can't marry to two people at the same time. Kedusha doesn't take effect by any erva, right? Your sister, right? Your daughter. Your daughter-in-law. She goes out of his house and is to another man. Now the emphasis here is on the acher, matam lomer acher, probably parshas arayas. You can't be married to somebody who's not related to. If somebody's related to you, can't be married to. It's not an ish acher, right? Okay. Another cool case, weird case. Mishoch ishlam din asayam, his wife, turntables. Till now we talk about her husband goes to chutz laretz. Now the wife goes to chutz laretz. Right? She turns up with a green card in America. Anyway, Mishochel Yishalim Dina Sayam, Ubav Amalon, they came and they said to her, Mesa Yishalcha, your wife died. Oh, he's so happy. Nasa Chose marries her sister. Okay? Vachakach Bas Yishto, now his wife comes back. Now he's married to two sisters. That's awesome, right? So Muteres Lachs are low. She can go back to him. Not the other way around, right? If he had gone to Chutz Laretz and then come back, so everybody's stuck, right? But since she went to Chutz Laretz, so she can go back. The second marriage is null and void. Therefore, he can marry the relatives of his second wife, whose marriage is null and void. Vashni Mutar Krova and his second wife can marry his relatives, because their marriage is null and void. If the first wife dies in Chutz Laretz, he's allowed to remain married to the second one. They said, now this is a very strong, I brought the Nachlas to people, let's see if we can get along without it. They said to the guy, your wife died. Actually we're not up to the strange case yet. He married the sister. And then they said, no. So she was alive at that time, Mesa, and then she died. Havlad Rishon, so the child he has, while his first wife is still alive, conceives of the second wife as a mamzer, because she was also to him at that time, because she was a sister-in-law, right? Va'achron, but the child conceived after his wife actually did die, ain't a mamzer, is not a mamzer. Rabbi Yossi says, and Gemara is going to discuss what he means at this, what he's going even on this mission, the first mission of the parent, koshu poisal de'echem, if he causes anybody else to be puzzled, poisal atzmo, he causes himself to be puzzled. Doesn't cause anybody else to be puzzled. Ain't a place that they ask him, doesn't cause himself to be puzzled. Either. And again, the Gemara's going to discuss what is going on. Okay, now comes a weird case. Amalam meets the Yishalcha. He said, your wife died. Nosachosi married his sister. Me'avia, a half-sister. It's only his sister from the father's side, right? Mesa, right? Then they said, the second one died. Nosachosi mehima. Now he married a half-sister of the second one. But now number three is not related to number what?
One.
Number one. Number three is related to number two, but not to number one, right? Mesa, Vanessa Chosa Meavia. Now you married number four, right? And number four is a half sister to number three, right? Mesa, then she dies, right? Vanessa Chosa Meima, then he marries a half sister, that's number five, right? And then they all come back. What a nightmare, right? All five of these women come back, and each one's a half-sister to the one before, right? So Mutar is allowed to remain married to the first one, but Shlish is Chamishis. One, three, and five are all Mutar term, right? Because one is not related to three, and three is not related to five, right? But Shniyev Upodos are saying, and if he dies, and one of them has relations with a Yavam, or does Chalit of the Yavam, so all the three and five are the other two of those wives are potter. But also Vishniya Vishlurvis, but the second and fourth one are forbidden to him because they are the later sisters. If he dies and the Yav is related with the second or fourth, so it does nothing for the other wives. If he had relations with the second one after the first one died, then the opposite is true. Mutter b'shtir v'is, he's allowed to remain the second and fourth one, who Upotu so saying, and they exempt their source because they're really married. V'asim shlish l'chamish is forbidden the third and fifth one. V'ein achas mem teras, neither of them exempts the other one. You got the picture, right? Okay? So whatever ones are related to each other are forbidden. Where ones are unrelated are permissible. K'siv v'shachav ishosan. Now, how do we learn our Mishnah? How come he remains mutter to the first wife, even though the second wife is also? Because it says, Shachav Isho Sa. If a man has forbidden relations with her. Shachiva Sa O Sarta. If you have forbidden relations with a woman, but if ain't Shachiva, it answers her. But Shachiva Acheres O Sarta. But I can't ask her the first sister if I have relations which are forbidden with the second sister, right? It doesn't bounce back and answer the first sister. Now, the Gemara asks an interesting question. Or somebody else says, the Gemara doesn't really mean to ask what it asks. It really means to ask something else. I understand. So why in the first Mishnah do we ask the wife on both of them and say she's got to get divorced from both? Let's say there also, it's a Nebuch, right? She's exempt. It says if you do, we're mizane under your husband, not if you're onus, and she was unintentional, right? So what the Arsimel says, that's not a question, because we said before, it's taka knas the rabbanon, right? The knas rabbanon, so she should make sure that be meticulous before she gets married. So that question, the question doesn't start. So Arsimel said, really what the Gemara means to ask is, why don't we make such a gzeira over here, that he should make sure his wife is dead before marrying the sister? That's really what the Gemara means to ask, the other way around. The Gemara means to ask, why don't we make such a gzeira over here? So I'm telling you a very interesting answer. Gozo davar shumatz. I don't remember this from the Bavli. I don't think it's in the Bavli. Maybe you're wrong. Gozo davar shumatzli. They made a gzera so which is prevalent. Men go to chutzler. The Gemara section says, "Lo gozo davar she'ena matzli." Now so it's not prevalent. Derech ish latzim diyaseh. Men go to chutzlaretz. So that case, Nebuch, of a husband disappearing, can happen very frequently. So then they made a gzera to make sure that she'll make sure to figure out what's going on. Ain't Dr. Shalisha, let's say somebody is saying, look how many men with green cards there are and how many women with green cards there are, right? So therefore, since women don't go to chutzos often, therefore they didn't make such a gzera by women to be machmir to make sure that she's dead.
Nowadays the Yohan Sutra are going to go to chutzos.
Right. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda. Right? He said, Moide Meshav Mesil Vivachamo, so Shapasal Tishto. Beisham and Beisil both concede if you have relations with your mother-in-law, you can't remain married to your wife either. So you lose both of them. Aman echluku, what's in machlok? It's bebal achus yishav, if you have relations with your wife's sister. Shebeisham rin posal, you lose both of them. Beisil rin lo posal, you don't lose both of them. You only lose the sister, not your wife. Chabrai b'shem yochan said, time of the Rabbi Yehuda, what's the logic of Rabbi Yehuda? Ba'esh yisufu o soves het. It says, in the fire burn the guy and his mother-in-law and his wife. Burn all three. He says, well, you can't say it. Manakayomi. Ilian Sreifla, do service al achas. You can only burn the second one, not the first one. One more minute. You can only burn one of them, not two of them. The first one is not at fault. It's the second one who's at fault, right? If you have actually your mother-in-law and then the daughter, your wife, so whoever was the second one is the one which creates the issa, right? Actually, it's the mother-in-law because she already was your wife. So, it must be telling us that they're both osir. Not that one of them is both are burned, both of them are osir. But that, akidum krabi kiva. That makes sense for Rabbi Akiva, who doesn't darsh in ascend for something else. But what about Rabbi Shmuel? Well, how do you learn it? Tiny Rabbi Shmuel, because Rabbi Shmuel says, Beish Yisufu Oso Veshen, is teach us who Veshnia. Now, he learns it out as that you two burn both. I don't remember what he learns says. I'm too nervous to remember what he says. Too nervous about the life. We'll come back to this tomorrow. Okay. I draw a blank when I get tense at the end. We got far enough.
Blood. How many blood are we behind?
Less than 30.
What's the...
That's good.